want to say good evening, everyone. Certainly, I wanted to thank Brother Vern and Sister Barbara for coming over this side and visiting this evening, and wanted to keep Brother Brandon in prayer because he has the back surgery coming up that we were asking for prayer for. So I'm going to keep him in prayer that goes well. One of the things that I want to talk about that song that Brother Carey sang, 406, where it says in that first verse that we need to let his fullness show in us. Well, that's one of the things that we ought to have the desire to do. I just wanted to mention that. I never heard it before, but it was a wonderful way that we ought to express the way that we need to learn about Jesus and some of the things we need to learn about him. My sermon this evening, and like I said, I'm sorry I don't have a PowerPoint. I had some things done, but all of that was sucked down in the black hole of a computer. So what I did was I wanted to go into the things we were talking about Friday night in Bible class, because that's really interesting to me as well. It's the things that you desire, and it's what are your desires in your life and the things that move you forward as far as your walk with Christ, or if you haven't come to Christ, what is your desire? Because ultimately, I think we came to the conclusion is if you haven't come to Christ, your desire should be to come to Christ, but if you have come to Christ, your desire should be the will of God. So what is your desire? As I said, we're going to be highlighting some of the things that we were studying on Friday night's Bible class, so you may hear some of these things that you heard before. And we were discussing discipleship and all of the D's thereof, and of course the first D was desire. And we were talking a little bit about desire and what makes up desire and the things that we should desire for. The things I just talked about a few seconds ago, those things that we should have desire for in and out of the body of Christ. And there are things that we can explain to people out the body of Christ what they should have a desire for. So from our study, we looked at the two definitions of desire. There are two definitions, there's a noun and a verb. And the noun is a strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen. And the verb is strongly wish or want. So desire is as a noun is something each of us has. There's a difference, however, because we have an example. See, the thing is, anyone can use the example, but it is up to us to do what Philip did with the Ethiopian eunuch. And that's what? To guide that person into what he needs to do. Because some people may not know. But I loved it the way he said, I can. And if you have someone who breaks it down to you, who feels determined to say, I need help with this, then we ought to be jumping right on that and telling them, this is what you need to know. And Philip preached what? Philip preached Christ. He preached Jesus. And we ought to be willing to do that for someone who is willing to listen. Our main example comes from the book of Psalms. And these passages do have relevance as now, even as they did then. And if you want to turn there, it's Psalms 37. And I'm going to go from the Berean Study Bible. I kind of went away from my King James because people don't like the diffs and duffs and things of that nature. So I went to the Berean Study Bible. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to take that time to, and it's going to read a little bit different. And thank you for coming as well, Brother Austin. Brother, I'm going to call you Brother Austin. I hope you get used to hearing that and come back and make that move. But it's going to read a little different in the King James. I'm reading from the Berean Study Bible. We're in Psalms 37. I'm going to begin at verse 1. And everybody seems to have it. So here we go. It says, of David, it says, do not fret over those who do evil. Do not envy those who do wrong. It says, for they wither quickly like grass and wilt like tender plants. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. And when David is talking about this, we go all the way back to Israel. And he's telling them exactly what he had told them to do, which he was saying, have faith and just cultivate the land. He's telling them exactly what he wants to do. That's what God is saying. But we're to trust in the Lord even now. And we're to do what? We're to cultivate the land. We're to make our place in this world doing what it is we know how to do, okay? A lot of us do not have to plant and do things that they are herd sheep. But most of us have to do something in order to live, and those of us who have retired did something. And then we're supposed to do what? We're supposed to dwell in the land and cultivate our faithfulness. And that's your faithfulness and faith. So that's such a, you know, because we always fall back to Hebrews 11, where faith is something that you wish for but you can't see, or it's kind of paraphrasing it. But that's what faith is, and so we have to have that faith and trust in the Lord. 37:4, as I said, I think Friday night, 37:4 was one of the first verses I ran across when I picked up a Bible. Didn't understand what it meant. It said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And if you're with us on Friday night, well, what should the desires of your heart be? The desires of your heart should be to do the will of God. So if you do the will of God, guess what? That will is going to come forth. That's what you have to. If you do the will of God, then you're going to be doing it. It's going to work because you're doing his will. So I had to learn that. And yes, it was disappointing that it didn't mean what I thought it meant. And I think that we talked a little bit about Friday night about one of the things that pushes new converts back out the doors when they come into the body for the wrong reason, and they come in thinking that, what, if I do everything I'm supposed to do, I can get everything I'm supposed to want, but you don't get everything you want, and then they end up leaving because somebody kind of told them that, you can desire whatever and the God will give it to you. Because what? Because I have it. Well, it doesn't work that way. Your desires must line up with the will of God. So he will give you your desires of your heart. And it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he'll do it. But he's going to give you the desires of your heart. But desires of your heart has to line up with his will. And if it doesn't line up with his will, it doesn't mean you're never going to get anything you wish for. It's just saying, I can't even tell you how you got it. Because we want to have the same will as God. And what is the will of God?
Save souls.
The will of God is what we're learning on Sunday mornings. He wants you to have salvation. And he wants us to spread salvation throughout to other people. So if we're doing that, then we're in his will, and that should be our desire. It should be for us to tell other people about salvation and get them rolling in that direction. So he says, commit and he'll do it. And then 36 says, he will bring forth your righteousness like the dawn, your justice like the noonday sun. He says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men prosper in their ways. And so it says somebody may be getting something, but it's not in the right way. And we talked about being right and being correct. So they may not be doing it in the right way or the correct way, but they may be prospering. And it says, don't fret about that. Because it already says that evil people or evildoers, you know, they're going to get things. They're going to be good however they need to do it. And it says, be still and do not fret when men prosper in their ways, when they carry out wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and abandon wrath. Do not fret. It can only bring harm. For the evildoers will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. And then 10 says, yet a little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and delight in abundant prosperity. The wicked scheme against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. So, but the Lord laughs, seeing their day is coming. And that's the seeing that their day is coming, which you already said. They're gonna look for them, and they're not gonna be found. So, you know, so we don't have to worry about what wicked people do. Don't fret about it. I don't know what made them put fret, but I guess that's a good word. Don't fret about it. And so if you look at verse 3, we're to trust in the Lord, but some are being told they can't trust in what they cannot see. See, this world of, I call them influencers, are telling them to ignore the second part of the verse, which is cultivate faithfulness as you dwell in the land. See, that's something you have to do. You have to cultivate your faithfulness. So they want to ignore that part because they can't what? It's that, well, I can't see it. Because what is faith? And I mentioned Hebrews 11 and 1. And it says, now faith is the assurance of what we hope for and the certainty of what we do not see. So if you have a desire, if you have a hope of getting what you desire, then guess what? You have faith. I'm sorry. If your hope and desire is that there is an armored truck rolling down the street, because you see it do that every day, it drives through your neighborhood or past your house, and your hope is that it's going to one day drop out a big bag of money, and you are stuck on that hope, well, then you have faith it's going to happen. So it's not like we're working against people who don't have faith. We just need them to take their faith in the right direction. Hey, how many times did you have faith that you're going to get a break? I'm going to get a break. I'm going to go to the grocery store and they're going to charge me less for something that was more. It's probably going to be meat, and it, you know, because that's what the high thing is now. But, you know, and you have hope that somewhere along the line, I'm going to get a break. Well, that's faith. That's all it is. It's faith. You have faith. The case for Christ. Now, I already told some people about that. And if you haven't seen it and you plan on seeing it, don't get mad, because I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. So there's a point in the movie where an atheist is talking to another person who wants to be an atheist, and then when he's explaining this to him, and he's saying, whoa, and then he was saying, well, here's the point. You either believe God doesn't exist, or you believe he doesn't exist, you have faith in one or the other. But either way, you have faith. You just have faith that God doesn't exist. But it's still faith. So you can be turned because you already have faith. You just cultivated your faith in something other than God. Because faith is the assurance of what we hope for. So, like I said, if you have desire, if you have a hope of getting, you have faith, and I think the Bible says a little something like a person does not hope for that he already possesses. We don't have a lot here. I got a van. Well, I don't hope to get a van. I got a van. I hope to get a newer van. But see, that's a different thing. Now I have to wait and be patient to get the newer van. But I already have a van. So we don't hope for the things we already possess, but we hope for that is just beyond our reach. That's the newer van. That's the 2023 Pacific with all the bells and whistles. Well, I got a hope for that. That's a little bit beyond my reach right now. But if I have faith that God's going to do that for me, it's misplaced, but it's still what? It's faith. Mm-hmm. So they have faith, and as I said, we need to turn that faith either back to God, or we need to turn their faith to God. And that's where we actually come into this. Those of us sitting in this room, to patiently be willing to talk to anyone about God because you know they have faith. And I'll tell you like this, and I've told you before, I don't believe I've ever met a person in my life who doesn't believe in God. Because most of them are mad at him. You can't be mad at somebody you don't believe in. If you do, then you got a whole new line of problems that I can't help you with. But the point is that most of them believe in them. They just don't either trust them or somebody told them not to trust them. And then verse 4, here it says, how do we get them to delight themselves in the Lord? Because if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He gives us our heart's desire. Again, guess what? This is all part of what we know, and maybe they don't. And I know sometimes, and I don't get up here very often, but I just believe that people are gonna reach people because a lot of them are influenced by other people, or they just don't know. And when I find out that enough people do know and just won't listen, I'm gonna preach about hell. I'm gonna preach about it all day long. But first they gotta know Christ. So I may not go right to the hell button. Just be patient with me. Maybe I won't even get there. But I want to preach Christ first. Remember, I'm just starting. Brother Carey's been preaching a long time. Brother Vernon's been preaching a long time. Brother Ray's been preaching a long time. You've been teaching a long time. Sister Barbara, Sister Tracy, y'all been teaching a long time. Sister Brother Al, your folks have been in this thing a little bit longer than me. So I'll get to that hell button. And I'll come up here and I'll stand and say, they're going to hell. But I'll only say it once I figured out that that's what they want to do. So we talked about that the other night, didn't we? About people want to do what they want to do. But it's at a point where if you want to go to hell, you can go to hell. I can't say it the way I want to say it. I hope it didn't come out wrong. But if you want to go, you ought to be able to go. But at least we ought to be able to make you not want to go. So I hope that didn't come up. But I just said it that way because that's what I'm working at this. I fairly believe that they don't really know because they're listening to the wrong people. But, okay, so I can't do this sermon because I'm going to do part of it right now. There is a thing in the movie, The Usual Suspects, in that movie where they said what was the most clever thing the devil ever did was convince everybody he didn't exist. And they're telling people that hell doesn't exist. And the ones that are telling people that hell does exist, it's a party. Billy Joel sang about it. I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. Nowhere in the Bible does they say the saints are going to be crying in heaven. Matter of fact, we say no tears in heaven. No sorrows. Amen. See, they're being misled. Yeah. So where our job is to lead them in the straight path, and then if they say no, we can let them go laugh with the sinner if they think that's what they're going to be doing, because the Bible tells me there's some gnashing of teeth. Yes. I don't never hear, if you can show it to me in the Bible, I'll stop right now. I don't mean just stop preaching and we'll stop and I'll just leave the building. But there's nowhere in the Bible where there's any laughing in hell. So we need to try to get them on the straight and narrow. And then he says, again, he says that when you delight yourself in the Lord, your desire will be, well, I said your desire will be His will, so it is like an unstoppable train. He will bring forth your righteousness like the dawn, your justice like the noonday sun. See that your commitment, your trust, He will do it. He will do what? He will bring forth your righteousness, your justice. And when we look at the world and all that is going on, do we ever think how many of the protests here in the United States and abroad are all about what? They're all about justice for something. Nobody's out there protesting for bad stuff. They all want some sort of justice. Well, he said that he'll bring forth your righteousness. He'll bring forth your justice. We just got to get them protesting about the right thing. You imagine 250,000 people walking down Fifth Avenue saying, hey, come to Christ. We just got to get them to go in that direction. It ain't a lot of us. So we got to start small, but we're working on it. Because if it happens on Fifth Avenue, I'll be there. FBI or not, I'll be there. So many have convinced themselves or have been convinced by others that protest instead of prayer can bring justice. They won't even take a minute to realize that we're fighting for justice too. We're fighting for their justice. We're trying to fight to keep them away from God's justice. See, we're trying to get them into the safe house. So they won't pray, but they want justice. You know where the Bible says God? Well, hold on. 2 Peter chapter 3. I actually wrote hold on up here. I can literally wrote hold on. I'm sorry. but 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 1. I'm going to do a little bit of reading here. 2 Peter chapter 3, again, I'm coming from the Berean Study Bible. I've never actually seen a Berean Study Bible, but I was afraid to download the American Standard Bible because it was $20. The $20 for a computer download, yeah. I ain't convinced myself yet, but I know I need to get it because I know people don't really want, you know, they want to hear something other than the King James, and I think the American Standard Bible is the closest to and thought to that Bible. I just got to download it into the program that I use, and I got to stop being cheap. God forgive me for being cheap. 2 Peter 3:1. Beloved, this is now my second letter to you. Both of them are reminders to stir you to wholesome thinking. See, wholesome thinking, that's the right type of thinking. That's righteous thinking. It's when you're thinking about the will of God and you want to know what you can do for God and you see somebody, I think Sister Tracy said it best. She said, it gets hard, but she's getting better. And I love that because it's hard for me and I'm getting better too. It's like sometimes we miss that opportunity to say, have you heard about God? We don't know what's going to come back at us. So I'm getting better too. So if there's wholesome thinking, by recalling what was foretold by the holy prophets and commanded by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. And that's the 12. If you want to say it today, it's through your preachers and through your teachers and through people of that nature. Most importantly, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. Well, have you looked at the news lately? The rhetoric against God, the rhetoric against Jesus, the rhetoric against Christianity. It's so bad that some people have put on Facebook or TikTok or Instagram or some chat thing.
Snapchat.
And it's sad. I didn't know it, but I got them all. And that's all you see. And people have said, we don't want to be a part of your book club. Well, you know what the book club is? It's the very thing you're holding in your lap or on your phone. It's a Bible. But they don't want to be a part of that club. They don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to hear from people who are reading the Bible. And somebody had to say something because the Bible is one of the best books in the world. How many times have we been told and how many times has it been proven that what? The Bible is real and is real from historical and archaeological fact. They're finding things that the Bible is telling about, they're finding them all over the Middle East. I think they said ISIS or somebody tried to blow up something, and they blew up something, and they found a city underneath it that was right in line with the Bible. And so we said, thank you, ISIS. I think, you know. But they did, and they're finding out that it is an archaeological history book. And all of it is real. All of it is real. I saw up there that, I told y'all need to pray for me so I can get off this stuff. But I saw something the other day that said, how come you can See all of the pharaohs of Egypt, but you can't find one, a bone or a toenail or anything from any of the people from the past? Well, if you go to Mount Pelop, that is in somewhere in the Middle East, I think it's close to Jerusalem, there's Abraham, there's Sarah, there's Isaac, there's not Rebecca, the other one. That is Leah. All of them are buried in this one building. They're there. They're not looking for them. They've been told what? They've been told they don't exist. They don't look on their own. We want to help them look on their own. So as a matter of fact, several news stations and politicians, and I have Twitter, and I probably need to get off that too, but several news stations and politicians have started quoting the Bible as a means of rebuking the ones that won't. I will pick up Twitter on a Sunday morning, and every other tweet is from a politician tweeting a scripture. One lady tweeted, and I tweeted back to her, "You're absolutely right. I'm on my way to church. How about you?" I ain't heard from her yet. I'm going to tweet her back and tell her I'm mad. God, I think you just tweeting, folks. You ain't answering nobody. But I did. I tweeted her back. I'm on my way. We getting ready for worship service right now. So, because they're tweeting about God. They're tweeting scripture. They didn't do it before everybody was so against God, but now they're tweeting scripture. They're tweeting scripture. And they're doing it because the other ones won't. So they want to pull in the Christian crowd, but you don't know, you tweet scripture and we'll start preaching to you over line with them. People, "Hey, I'm going to church. What are you doing?" And you don't answer me back. So the scoffing, and it says scoffing, and it finishes that off by scoffing and following their own evil, and they have desires. Peter said they're following their own evil desires instead of following the desires of God, instead of having the will to get others saved. So you can save me for about an hour from a protest about giving me more of something that has nothing to do with God. I'm trying to save you for eternity. But I'm the one you're laughing at. But cry with the sinner. I'm sorry. Laugh with the sinner and cry with the saints. I hate to say it, but they're going to find out. They're going to find out. And I don't want them to find out. I'm sorry. I'm thinking along the will of God. I would have it that all would what? That all would do what? Come to the knowledge of God and then repent. That's all I want them to do. It's not a big thing. It's not something that it takes a long time to do. We know it's going to take some time to be converted. But guess what? You have to repent just to get on the right path so you can do what? So you can be converted. They just don't think it's possible because people are telling them it's not possible. They're listening to the wrong people. It's like your mom used to say, "Well, they already jumped off the bridge." That's what, "Hey, would you know, I already jumped, Mom." So they're already jumping off the bridge. It don't take a lot of them to say that. They're being misguided. They have a word called influencers, and the influencers are not influencing anybody to come to Christ. So we're going to pick up at 4. So they're asked, "Where is the coming? Where is the promise of his coming?" they were asked. "Ever since our fathers fell asleep, everything continues as it has from the beginning of creation. But they deliberately overlooked the fact that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water by water, through which the world at that time perished in the flood. And by that same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." Peter says in verse 8, "Beloved, do not let this one thing escape from your notice. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day." So Peter would give a second consideration by which the apostle meets the objection of scoffers against the doctrine of the second coming of the Savior. Because that's what it's all about. Everybody wants to know, where is Christ? How come he hasn't come back? Haven't things gotten bad enough yet that he should come back and do what? Save us. Save us all is what I actually wrote. So much like then, this is the objection now. Not so much time, and even though no time has been given for the sentence for or set for his return, time has certainly passed, and some think about why things remain the same. Some people even tell you things are worse than they were a few years ago. Peter gives what I believe is an all-time reply for that. For that may seem to be a long time to us, is a brief time with God. In the immensity of God's own time, there's an abundant time to accomplish whatever he sets out to do, whether they are accomplished in one day or extended over 1,000 years. He's still going to accomplish it. So here's what needs to be understood. We, being mankind, we only have a short time to live. But if we don't accomplish his purpose for us in that very brief period, we never will. What is his purpose? That all should repent and come to what? If we don't do that, we have a short period of time to do it. Yeah, you can feel some aches and pains because you're maybe over 50, and or some of you are a lot older than 50. I wish to get that old. I wish to get that old so I can complain too. But you see what I'm saying here is that some of us are guys, I'm over 50, I have aches and pains. So guess what? We think what? We've been living a long time, but it's brief in the eyes of God. And we need to come to Christ before he calls us home, or if we're here when he comes back. And then you can just look up and see. So you understand what I'm saying. So Peter wanted to make it understood that we have a brief time, but to accomplish the things that we need to accomplish, or we never will. But it's not so with God. He lives always, and we cannot therefore infer, assume, insinuate, or find reason to debate that because the execution of his purposes seem to be delayed, that they are abandoned. There's nowhere in the Bible that says God abandoned anything he said that he was going to do. I think Peter said that the heaven and earth that exist now is reserved for what? For fire and the judgment. We've had no fire. Okay, we all live in California. There's tons of fire. But it's not that fire. And guess what? So that means what? He hasn't abandoned that idea. Why? 3 and 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but is patient with you. Does y'all understand that? He was patient with a lot of us before we became in the body of Christ. He's probably being patient with a lot of us now. But guess he's being even more patient, giving a longer time for those who refuse to come to Christ. He's giving us time to tell them they need to come to Christ. Okay, let's put it different. He's given us time to tell them it's better that they come to Christ. I think a lot of us say before it's everlasting too late. They don't know what everlasting too late means. Well, they need to learn what everlasting too late means. And once they know, doesn't say we need to sit there and just continually try to hack at them. But we want them to at least know. We got to get beyond the influencers who are influencing them to stay away from God. Much like a father with a child, like a teacher with a pupil, or like a coach with an athlete who allows time. Because God not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And notice that says anyone and everyone. Well, anyone and everyone is everywhere. All over the world. He wants us to come to repentance. And one of the things, and I got my finger here, one of the things that we were talking about Friday is, if we all treat each other nice, and it's a sincere effort to please God and His will, then nobody in this room has any problems. Mm-hmm. Why can't they see that? That's all it is. That is how you treat your fellow man. And if we're in the body of Christ, and I'm going to preach a little bit to the choir, we need to stop and think what we say before we say it, especially to one another. Because we need to follow the will of God. Last thing we need to do is be seven of us next week, because I've said something to make nine of you mad. We can't do that. I reiterate, along with our battle for our own souls, we fight a battle for the souls of those who would be influenced by others to ignore us, but who would rather see us fail, even if our failure means their loss. So, what is your desire? What is your longing? What is that thing you crave? So, I didn't make this long because I had to put it together because I lost everything else, but I'm going to let you go, as it says, and for everyone here, as well as anyone who may hear later, I just want you to take this with you. Luke recalls that he told a little bit about John. Remember John, a baptizer, who also was the cousin of Jesus and the herald of God? And Luke 3 and 4 says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah. Now Luke is quoting what John said. Now John is saying, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley should be filled in, and every mountain and hill made low, the crooked way shall be what? Made straight. And I like that. He says the crooked ways will be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And then verse 6 says, and all humanity will see God's salvation. Remember, Isaiah was saying this. So if we go all the way back to Israel, all the way back to when Isaiah said it, what was Isaiah saying when he was talking about God's salvation? He was talking about what? What will we see? He was telling them at that time the same thing that we're going to see if we last that long. We will see our Lord and Savior Jesus. He's telling them that. But back in Israel's day, they were waiting for the Messiah. Guess what we're waiting for? Somebody waiting for him too. And he said, everyone will see him and every knee will bow. What? I don't know if that's forceful or not, but it won't have to be forceful with me, because both knees are bowed. But that's what it says, God's salvation. And God's salvation should be our desire. And what is God's salvation? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is called the Christ. We're all looking for someone to save the world. Well, God has, and He's already given us a Savior. Will you make Him your heart's desire? Amen, y'all.
Thank you, Brother Avery.
Good lesson.
We're going to sing one verse of number 319. Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come, for He loves me so. Only a step, only a step. Come, for He bled for you and died. He's the same love. was the crucified.
Amen.
All right. Enjoyed that lesson. And next Sunday morning, my sermon is going to be The Need to Be Nice. Ah, you mentioned that. So
amen.
We're going to talk about that next Sunday. So The Need to Be Nice. Just a few announcements. Remember, Tracy's mom is having some hip problems, and so let's keep her in our prayers. Our visitor, Vernon, is going to have some back surgery coming up this week, right? Tuesday. All right, so let's pray for him, and we're so thankful you came over to support Brother Avery. And Russ is going to see the doctor tomorrow if he needs more fluids. He's going to have radiation on Tuesday. He'll probably have another procedure on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So we don't know yet, but we just got to wait. But he is improving quite a bit. So I just remember them. Al and Maureen still having their difficulties, so let's pray for them. Lonnie and Chuck tested positive for COVID, and so apparently they're not showing any symptoms. But anyway, let's pray for them. Barbara's still having some breathing problems, a lot of coughing, asthma problems. So that's Barbara Hill, by the way, not our visitor. I want to acknowledge Oscar here. He's our real estate person. So we're glad he came in.
Amen.
And, of course, if you come listen to me, I'll be a lot more boring than what Avery is. Avery is very animated. I'll be a lot more boring, but anyway. Chris asked for prayers, so let's pray for her.
Amen.
And so we're just glad everybody was able to make it. The lesson was very on point, and we all needed that. Is there anybody needs to partake of Lord's Supper? Okay. All right. Well, then, in that case, let's be dismissed with a closing prayer.
Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we've had the opportunity to hear a portion of your word. I'm thankful that me and my brother Avery and brother Carrie have the ability and the knowledge to provide those lessons. And we pray for the teachers and preachers everywhere all over this land that endeavor to strive to preach the truth and teach the truth. Pray that would continue and that you would help us all to have the courage to speak up when the opportunity arises to lead others to Christ. And you and your son. May you be with us as we leave this place and help us in the days ahead to always be prepared for whatever may take place. And we look forward to the next opportunity time. In Christ we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
I didn't get the opportunity to see you guys, and
I'll get his thing.
That one got it.
I'm glad I got to come in and see you.
I tried to come through, but thank you so much.
Oh!
Thank you.
Okay, excuse me.
It's
on Wednesday, so.
Well, as influencers.
Thank you. I have to go test because I'm still just practicing testing, but thank you guys so much. I'm really glad I came. I'm really glad I got to come.
Come back.
Yeah, I want to come back because I definitely want to see everybody. You know?
Yes.
Okay, thank you guys.
Have see a good night, hon.
7-3. I don't watch it anymore.
Oh, yeah. I still watch it. More exciting than that. Yeah, I was watching some of that yesterday. Oh, it was some really exciting ones yesterday. Close and everything, yeah.
Now, you see, I'm in trouble because I'm from New York, and my son is for the New York Giants.
Uh-oh.
I'm here, and everybody's for the 49ers, so he calls me a traitor. So now I have to stay neutral.
Well, when you take down that TV in there,
I'm going to have to say it was great meeting you. My son's due to call anytime, so much.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they did lose. Yes, they did lose.
Yeah, he'll let me know, definitely.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So it was nice meeting you, and I hope to see you soon.
Hello, sir. How are you doing? I'm doing fine. Where are you at?
I didn't know that.
Oh, you're in New York? Oh, that's great. How are you doing? Your sister Linda's son? Okay, and you're doing well? All right, well, it is good to meet you. We got some stuff online for you, and I hope you enjoy it. All right, good to meet you, sir. Here's your mom.
I talk about you all the time, so. Good stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, I think that there's something else you might want to try to look at going to get to the land. Because what we want to do is we want to light that whole back area, but we don't want to look short in anybody's face.
Right. And that's why I was thinking one of those little lamps we could
that's more
just put right up there.
Yeah, that's more of a spotlight.
Yeah.
But actually, it was just.
I don't know if I threw it out. You need to go over there.
It doesn't put out a lot of light.
Yeah, it does.
When you're in the room in the dark, it does. But here, it doesn't put out a lot.
Okay.
But I just thought I'd bring it.
Right.
But we just try to find something.
And I was thinking maybe a little tiny spot on here, because I noticed when Al was standing here, it was
You couldn't see me?
Couldn't see him very well.
I have some lights that...
He's different.
They're sensor lights that come on when you walk underneath them.
Yeah.
I can see I have them for a while.
Look at that.
Yeah, I think it's better.
If it was over there.
Yeah. Well, I'll see if I can find them and bring them in.
But we'll look at something. I'm thinking just something that might.
I think this whole area needs to be lit.
Yeah, it does.
It's really dark back there. I think that's why I spent so much time out here.
Yeah, it does.
All right.
And I'll get some exit signs. By law, we have to have exit signs. So.
All right. Then.
Lighted exit signs.
I didn't see anything.
He's an awesome guy.
I'll check on Bebo and go somewhere else.
Well, I think they have like $100 for them. I saw some on eBay for like $18.20.
Yeah.
And I think they're all working on the same.
Yeah.
But these are lighted.
As long as they're lighted. Yeah. They have to be lighted.
So, yeah, I think I saw some on eBay that were lighted. I'll look at it tomorrow.
All right.
Check a minute. Go.
Oh, I didn't know she was going
to. Okay.
You know, just him.
Oh, come on.